The 2013 Texas A&M University Commerce football season began with hope and uncertainty. After years of struggling, the team had a new look with an overhauled roster and a new head coach. What followed was 3 months of sweat, struggle, and success. When the final whistle blew on the regular season, the Lions had a winning record, including upset victories and wins over rivals. And an invitation to a bowl game provided a crowning conclusion to a historic campaign. It was a season to remember. For KETR Sports, this is Mark Haslett. The story of the 2013 Lions begins with the history of football at the university, which has a proud tradition in the sport. In the last century, East Texas State University, as the school was known, had long been a dominant force in small college football. The Lions won 20 Lone Star Conference titles. In the 1950s, Old E.T. was particularly dominant, with 8 conference championships and 4 Tangerine Bowl appearances, in which the Lions were undefeated. In the 1960s, All-American running back Arthur James led the Lions to conference titles, and in 1974, East Texas State had its greatest season ever, winning the NAIA National Championship, with a team that included future Super Bowl XII Most Valuable Player Harvey Martin of the Dallas Cowboys. But in more recent years, as the turn of the century approached, the Lions fell from the elite ranks. A number of break-even seasons gave way to a losing trend that bottomed out in 2011 and 2012. During those two seasons, the Lions won only once each year. It was time for a change. That change blew in from the West. Colby Carthel, a former defensive coordinator from West Texas A&M, was picked by new Lions athletics director Ryan Ivey to be the team's head coach. Some of Carthel's colleagues on the WT coaching staff also came to Commerce. The hiring came in mid-January, leaving Carthel little time to recruit, but he went straight to work with what he had. First came a weeding out process to make sure that the 2013 Lions were committed to winning.
Well, there's one thing we knew, that we had to change the culture around here, and there were some guys that maybe were playing for the wrong reasons or not taking care of business on and off the field, and we feel like that's important to be a champion off the field first before you can be on. And so we cranked up the heat in the kitchen, and it got a little warm for some people. We started that first day with 85 kids in the program, and when spring ended, there was about 34 or 5 kids left. So we lost somewhere right around 45 to 50 young men that, you know, just made the decision to do something besides play college football. And of those 50 or so, only 2 of them were dismissed. The rest of them quit on their own and made that decision. I've got no ill will towards them, but they realized college football maybe wasn't for them anymore.
Carthel and his staff knew that they had a leaner and meaner roster with some young talent on the way in the fall. Still, it wasn't nearly enough to make noise in the Lone Star Conference, one of the toughest in NCAA Division II. So the A&M Commerce staff made use of their contacts in the game to bring in some transfer students to fill holes on the roster. A long summer of preparation followed. By August, the depth chart had begun to take shape. Former Sulphur Springs High School standout Tyreek Rollison seemed to have a good shot at the starting quarterback job. His receiving core looked promising, but running back was a question mark, as was the offensive line. On defense, some talent. Defense had been a strength of the old Lions, but no one really knew how the pieces would fit. The Lions took the field in the season opener at home against Sul Ross State. It was a match of unknown quantities. The Division III Lobos boasted a high-octane passing offense, but were sketchy otherwise. With A&M Commerce leading 3-0 late in the first quarter, the Lions' new signal caller got his first touchdown of the season.
Rollison looks over the field. 2 left, wide side, 2 to the right. And he's going to do a little play action, looking for the end zone. Got him in! Touchdown! Right into the hands of Hayden Marsh. And the sophomore from Lucas Lovejoy puts a big six on the board for the Lions with 5.6 to go in the quarter.
Yeah, great job there by Rollison of just waiting back, waiting for time, gave him Hayden Marsh time to run that post pattern right across the middle. And as soon as he got in between and behind those two safeties, Rollison just threaded the needle between both of them. Just a great pass.
Go blow the smoke off your hands after you catch one that was coming in hot like that.
It was moving, yeah.
Right there, though, and the Lions get a touchdown. The snap, the place, the kick is up, and it's good. Friends and neighbors, with 5.3 seconds remaining in the opening quarter, it's A&M Commerce 10, Sol Ross State 0. We'll go back to the studio for a moment.
Well, it was a lot of unanswered questions. Like you say, with we brought in 130 kids to camp, so we really and truly had 100 new players, majority of those being high school guys that we had signed or walked on, and then some transfers. And so those first 2 weeks of camp were really crazy, just trying to find out who would play what position, and we hope we got them in the right spots. And then, shoot, now we got a game upon us, and we took the field not knowing a whole lot, knowing we had a good opponent across from us that had put up huge numbers, averaged over 50 points a game the year before. Is a tight game at halftime, I think 16-7, but second half we kind of finally settled down and really put the whip to them and got out of there with a big, you know, blowout victory, which is the most points scored here in a long, long time.
A&M Commerce defeated Sol Ross State 51-6, but the big win was tempered by the fact that it was against the type of team that a good D2 squad should beat. Up next was a very different opponent in a very different venue. Every year, the teams of the Lone Star Conference converge on the home of the Dallas Cowboys, the newly renamed AT&T Stadium. The aptly named Lone Star Football Festival is a weekend of games. The Lions had a tough assignment, a nationally ranked opponent, Delta State University from Cleveland, Mississippi, the number 24 school in the country. The Statesmen were supposed to make short work of the Lions, but what happened in Arlington on the Big Blue Star shocked just about everyone, except maybe the Lions themselves.
A three and out, and the Statesmen will kick it away with just over 9 minutes to go left in the half. Quick little sidestep rugby punt by Justin Holt. And it is going to be picked up. Oh, dangerous move, but it's paying off. 20, 25, Fields with a block coming around the right side. 30, 40, 50, to the 40. Nobody's going to catch him. 10, 5, touchdown, and nary a flag in sight. Lions score again.
30 seconds ago, I was talking about how impressed I'd been with Ron Fields. That just upped a little bit. Incredible blocking there by the Lions. As soon as he got to the 50-yard line, he had five guys around him, and there was not a Statesman between him and the end zone.
All of them dark jerseys.
That score gave A&M Commerce a 21-10 lead in the early going, although Delta State drew to within five at the half. In the third quarter, the upset victory seemed to be slipping away from the Lions. The Delta State offense began moving at will, and in the fourth quarter, the Lions found themselves clinging to a 5-point lead with the Statesmen driving for the go-ahead touchdown.
Throwing deep, picked off at the 40, to the 30, maybe to the house, 20, oh. Tiptoed down the sideline, out of bounds. Oh no, look at this. He handed
he
it off,
it.
A lateral, and taking it into the end zone for the score.
Marcus
My
Ford.
Goodness.
But Ron Fields ran that from about the 40-yard line down to the – oh, it was knocked out into 54's hands.
Popped out.
That was Leo Migo.
Wow.
That ball was stripped out at about the 5-yard line and went straight into Leo Migo's hands and ran it in.
Look at that. Look at the official. He's like, I don't know if that was that a touchdown or I don't know. Lions defense. Do you think these guys are adopting the Colby Carthel mindset of
they
playing football?
They definitely are. I've heard Colby was one of those guys that was just a monster on the field. And I tell you what, these guys are playing really hard. And Ron Fields has made a name for himself.
Saul Martinez for the extra. The snap, the place. It is up. The A&M Commerce Lions are playing some tackle football these days. They lead 24th ranked Delta State 42-30. 6:08 to play the kick when we return after this.
We had a lot to prove. It was a neat stadium and neat atmosphere, and we went out there and just kind of laid our ears back and played hard and didn't really realize how good we could be, and I think maybe surprised Delta State a little bit and came away with a hard back-and-forth game. Came back. We were down in the fourth quarter and scored late and then held on to win that one, and that was the first win over a ranked opponent in many, many years around here, and just a great day for Lion football.
The Lions won 45-37, but couldn't enjoy their victory for long. The next week, A&M Commerce opened Lone Star Conference play against the number 4 team in the nation, West Texas A&M. It was an emotional return to Canyon for Carthel and other former WT staffers with strong ties to the Buffaloes players and community. It was emotional for WT as well, as many remained upset that Colby's father, Don Carthel, the winningest coach in the program's history, had parted ways with the school under acrimonious circumstances. It was a tough assignment for everyone. The Lions did make some noise on the game's first play.
Up to the line of scrimmage, the A&M Commerce with a ball near the right hash mark as they go right to left. And Tyreek Rollison takes the snap, looking right, going to throw a fade. Johnson's there, caught it, he's going to the 40, 30, all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Lions, 75 yards on the first play of the game.
That's one of the things we mentioned, that, you know, if the Lions are going to win this game, they're going to have to make big plays on offense and big plays on defense. And you saw that quite a bit last week at Cowboys Stadium. Anytime Vernon Johnson's out wide on a streak pass, there hasn't been anybody that's been able to keep up with him yet.
The Lions made it interesting for a while, but WT eventually pulled away to win 62-28.
You know, that was what I consider 8 months versus 8 years. Most of our staff had been up there in Canyon, and a part of that's where I came from as a defense coordinator. My dad had been the head coach, so a very well-established program there. And I was really proud of our kids. We battled going into the fourth quarter. We were down 10 and had a lot of momentum, and then had some mistakes there in the fourth and let things get away from us with a couple turnovers and a kickoff return. So, you know, even those coaches and players came across like, man, that score does not indicate how close this game was. And on paper, it looks bad, but we left Canyon with a lot of confidence because we had gone, you know, toe-to-toe and blow-for-blow with one of the top teams in the country. Ended up in the national quarterfinals this year. And so we really left there with a loss, but still felt like we took a step forward.
The Lions went back to Commerce to face 23rd-ranked Midwestern State in the Harvey Martin Classic. On a misty, wet night at Memorial Stadium, the Lions contained the renowned Mustangs offense, but A&M Commerce couldn't get its own offense clicking consistently until late in the game. One positive note was that young K.J. Garrett established himself at tailback for the Lions.
Garrett gets it. Garrett, touchdown! 5 yards out, and the Lions took 2 minutes and 9 seconds of the fourth quarter to get downfield and narrow this gap.
You know, one of the things, especially when you start a new program, but not only that, but early on in any season, when you've got new guys you're throwing out, the first couple of games, you just kind of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. But K.J. Garrett's a guy that's stuck. They found something there.
I liked him the first time I saw him. Field, or the extra point is good. And it is a game again, folks. 27-17, Midwestern State on top.
And our guys were hungry, and we had a good game plan, went out there and matched them play for play. And it was a back-and-forth ball game. And they ended up beating us by six. And they played in the same weather we did, but they rushed for about 400 a game, and we throw for about 400 a game. And so we felt like we had a good chance to beat those guys and wish we could have played them on a dry day, because I think the rain maybe gave them a little bit of an advantage, but you've got to overcome that.
A&M Commerce got back in the win column the next week when the Lions traveled to Durant, Oklahoma, and earned a non-conference win over regional rival Southeastern Oklahoma State. It was a tightly played game and kind of a strange one, as multiple lightning delays stretched a day game well into the night.
And it was kind of, like you say, a crazy game. A team get momentum, and then here the rain had come. We'd come back out, and here the lightning would come. And it was, we spent more time in the tornado shelter / locker room under those stands than we did actually out there on the field. But our guys were really persistent and just, you know, gutted one out that day, I felt like, because there towards the end, it was wet, it was cold, it was late. And I think our guys just said, hey, we're here, and we're going to get this win and get on home. And so what turned out to be a really long, supposed to be a real short trip there to Durant and back, turned out to be a full day affair, and we were just tickled to get the W.
The next week, another road game down to South Texas to battle for the Chenault Cup with the longtime rival Javelinas of Texas A&M Kingsville. The Lions dominated the evening with big plays on offense and defense, like this pick six late in the first half.
Wide out split each way. You think they'll throw a deep ball here? Why not? Brantley looking, throwing down the right sideline. Picked off! Picked off at the 50, to the 40, down the sideline. This one's going to the house. Touchdown, Lions! On the pick and the return, how about a little tap on the bonnet to Cam Napoleon?
Well, that was a big, big win for us. That was the first road win in the state of Texas against a conference opponent, I think, in 7 or 8 or 9 years for this program. And so it was really good to get that monkey off our back and get to moving forward. Kingsville at the time, I believe, was 2-3-1. They really were clicking at that time. So we knew it was going to be a hostile environment. It was their homecoming. We went down there in front of a rowdy crowd and just, you know, took control of the game from the opening kickoff and played a really complete, solid game. They scored. It wasn't even as close as the score indicated. You know, I think the final score was 41-28, but I think it was 41-7 there in the fourth quarter. Only detriment to that game was we lost Tyrick Rollison, our great quarterback from Sulphur Springs, who had just – he was on pace to break every record in the school record book this year, and he went down that game with a broken leg and broken ankle, and so that was the only misfortune that we had down there in Kingsville other than a great win over the old Texas A&I Javelinas.
A&M Commerce took a 4-2 record back to Memorial Stadium for just their third home game of the year, a non-conference matchup against McMurray. It was a night when both offenses went wild.
Well, you know, McMurray, that's old Hal Mummy. He had been there and instilled his offense, and he had just left that program. Mason Miller took over and didn't change much. They still putting up some big points and throw it all over the yard. When you have two teams that throw the ball a lot, that's going to extend the game because you're either going to be making yards or the clock's going to be stopping. You'll have that much more time to gain more yards. And, you know, we were probably trying to do a little too much defensively as coaches that first half and gave up 28 or 35 points, I think it's, in the first half. Made some adjustments and just went back to playing base defense and running the football and really played a lot better that second half. But it was an exciting game. Fans loved it. It was a great crowd. And that's, unfortunately, old defensive-minded guy like I am, unfortunately, that's kind of what college football is going to. Every rule they change, everything they do is to speed up the game and create more excitement and create more points. And 65-43, I think, is going to be the norm in college football in no time.
The victory boosted the Lions to 5-2 overall. Up next, the biggest test since Midwestern, on the road at 23rd-ranked Tarleton State, with the Texans undefeated in conference play. You're listening to A Season to Remember, a retrospective of 2013 Lions football. We've got the season's home stretch coming up next.